Heavenly Father, we just come to you to start our services today, Lord. And we thank you, God, for letting us come into your presence, God. There's nothing more important that can happen in our life today than to meet with you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that you open our hearts and our minds and our souls as we get into the message today, Lord. God, if there's anything that is disturbing our relationship with you, whether it's sin, whether it's frustration, Lord, whether it's something that we need forgiveness of or we need to give somebody else forgiveness of, Lord, whether it's a bill that's heavy on our heart or a health issue that's heavy on our heart or a person, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just take those from our souls right now, Lord, that we would just feel you. Remove those burdens from us, God, as we enter into worship with you, Lord. God, we are here to meet with you. We are your people. We love you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to get to know you better today. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 33. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 33. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 17. Exodus chapter 33. Looking at verses 1 through 17. We're going to talk about the power and the presence of being in our Lord. Exodus chapter 33. Verses 1 through 17. And so last week I shared with you the importance of being in the presence of the Lord. I said, you know, there's nothing more important for a Christian in today's society than ever to be in God's presence. See, we can go through the motions, but if we're not in God's presence, all we're doing is meeting as a social club. We're missing out on the joys of life that God wants you to have and that he wants me to have. And so what I talked about last week was, if you want to experience true joy in Christ, if you want to experience God's true presence, then we need to be in it. We need to be seeking it. We need to be after it. Because I'll tell you, if we want to love as Christ loves, we need to be in his presence. If we want to be able to forgive as Christ forgave, we got to be in his presence. Because I'll tell you, there's no way I could do that stuff on my own. There's some people that irritate you in life, aren't there? Amen. You ever been cut off in traffic? You ever say, praise Jesus? If you do, you're probably being a smart aleck. You're probably not me. I'm telling you. I won't go on anymore on that. But you know what I'm saying. So you need God's presence in your life to be able to deal with these things. If you want to impart mercy and grace and love on somebody, that unconditional love that only Jesus can give you, you can't do that on your own. You can't. You need to do it through the power of Christ. And so we got to be in God's presence. Then also I talked about last week, I said, you know, just because Jesus is omnipresent, just because he's everywhere, just because he knows your thoughts, just because even if you're a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and he dwells with you, that doesn't mean that you're in his presence. Just like there's radio waves all over that are going on today, you need a radio to tap into the sound of the radio waves. And just like if you want to be in the Lord's presence, you need something to tap into the Lord. You need to go to him in prayer. You need to read your Bible. You have to seek him. And then I wrapped up last week's sermon by telling you this. I said, what we need more than anything, and I challenged you. I said, do one thing different in your life to seek God this week. I said, I don't care what it is. I don't care how long it is. Maybe you got a 3-minute commute to work. Shut the radio off and pray to God in that time. But do something different in your life to try to seek God's presence. And so today I want to continue preaching about the presence of God. You say, well, Pastor, I think we heard a lot about it last week. Well, you did, but it's still on my heart. God still put this message on my heart, and so there's a reason. Maybe it's because you were challenged to do something different and seek God's presence, and you didn't do it last week. Maybe God is speaking to you. I don't know. But he said, Alan, we got to talk about this. So here I am sharing a story with you today. I'm going to talk about the almighty power that you can have by being in God's presence. I want to share a couple of Old Testament stories just quickly, and then I'll go through one of my favorites. But God's power, God's presence is all throughout the Bible. But a lot of people look at the Old Testament and they say, well, you know, that's before Jesus. Is that really even important? Absolutely it's important. Listen to some of the amazing things that people did in God's presence in the Old Testament. Here in Genesis chapter 21, God's presence was so evident in Abraham's life there was this heathen king named Abimelech. I think that's how you say it. But anyway, this heathen king, this guy, and he didn't like Abraham. He didn't like anything. He was just a bad man. And he says this about Abraham. He says, Abimelech spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Could somebody say that about you today? That God is with you in all that you do? Think about that. This heathen king says, Abraham, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. God guides you. He preserves you. He blesses you. And this guy didn't even believe in God, but he knew there was something different about Abraham. Can someone else say that about you in your life today? In the book of Joshua, you can read about how God promised him that no enemy would stand against him when God's presence was with him. I love this verse here, Joshua 1:5 through 6. And you can look this stuff up later. It's in your bulletins, but here's what it says. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. Hold on a minute. That's mind-blowing scripture right there. It says, there shall not any man, so there should be no man ever in history, that'll be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As long as this guy is alive, as I was with Moses, I will be there with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. So what he's saying is when God's Spirit is present with you, when you are in God's presence, that you can be strong and courageous because there's no enemy that can stand against you. We talked about last week, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You can die and go to heaven? Well, praise God. I'm tired of this old body that hurts every morning anyway. Amen?
Amen.
So then in Judges, you can read about this guy named Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, it says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel. See what God's saying here? He's saying, Gideon, my presence is going with you, and you're going to be able to save Israel. Now, if you know anything about Gideon, Gideon wasn't a real outspoken, outgoing kind of guy. And so he's saying, look, don't worry about that stuff. You can save Israel because I'll be with you. So that's pretty amazing to me. Jeremiah chapter 15, God warns Jeremiah. He says, you know what's going to happen? The whole nation is going to turn against you. Well, thanks, Lord. Real encouraging speech, you know. How would you feel, Brother George, if your wife Carol said, hey, George, when you go to church tomorrow, the whole church is turning against you. Like, okay, well, I'm going to church anyway. You know, that's what Jeremiah. So Jeremiah hears this from the Lord. God warns him. He says, the whole nation is going to turn against you. And they're going to reject all your prophecies. Icing on the cake. But yet Jeremiah 15:20 says this. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee. God's basically saying, I don't care if the whole country turns against you. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that my presence is with you and you're going to be okay. Wouldn't it be great if we felt that way today? All these things that are against us, we always feel like we're climbing an uphill battle. And instead, what do? Lay down and get ran over sometimes. But wouldn't it be great if we did like Jeremiah? We said, you know what? As long as God's presence with us, let's go. I don't care who's against me. If God is for us, who can be against me, right? Isn't that what it says in Romans? So these Old Testament passages, some people might say, this is Old Testament stuff. These are dead letters. This is old things. No, this was written to be able to encourage us and exhort us and tell us that the same God that they served is the same God that we serve. Amen?
Amen.
The God of yesterday is the same God we serve today. Amen?
Amen.
And so if these guys, God was going to protect you, think he's going to protect you?
Yep.
Absolutely. But what do we got to do? We got to get in God's presence. We got to tap into those radio waves. We got to sit before our Lord and Savior's feet. Folks, one of my favorite sections of scripture about God's presence, I wanted to share it so bad last week, but you would have been listening to me for hours. And so I'm sharing it with you this week, is in Exodus chapter 33. There's this guy, Moses, and he's been through, well, a lot more than I've been through in my life. I can tell you that much. Moses is going to show you the power of God's presence. So look at Exodus chapter 33. This is a lot of words, but it's important. Listen to what God's word says. Exodus chapter 33, starting with verse 1. It says, then the Lord says to Moses, leave this place. You and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. Says, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. He said, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But now listen to this part. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. Well, at least God's honest with me. Verse 4 says, when the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. I'll explain that later. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people, and if I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. So take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. It's like go up to your room until your dad gets home. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now verse 7 says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of the meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of the meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses in the tent, pillar of the clouds there. Listen to what he says to the Lord. Moses says to the Lord, you've been telling me to lead these people, but you have not let me know with whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and I have found favor with me. But if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, Lord, this nation is your people. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me unless your people go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said this to Moses, I will do this very thing because you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and because I know you by name. Wow. So in the scripture verse, we read here in verse 1 that the Lord is going to grant the privilege for Moses to be able to take these people that he had promised to Abraham all the way through to the promised land. These people should be excited. Like, we're going to the promised land. Woohoo! But in Exodus chapter 32, they did some bad things. And so the Lord says, you can go there. I'll even send an angel to take care of all those different groups of people. But I'm not going. Because if I went with you, I might just kill you. The Lord was unhappy. These Israelites have been through quite a lot, if you think about it. They've been slaves in Egypt. That can't be any fun. They've been delivered from the Pharaoh and set free. Moses led them through all kinds of different disasters, even when all the enemies were chasing them, and God, through Moses, was able to part the Red Sea. They saw what that was like. They whined and cried about not having any food, and the Lord provided them manna and quail from heaven. They defeated the Amalekites, and they were there when the Lord revealed himself at Mount Sinai. They saw that big cloud. They saw that big pillar. These people know that God is real. They've seen the miracles. They've seen what the Lord has done. And so the Lord goes and gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and he comes down, and you know what? Brothers. He's got a brother. Anybody else have a brother? Your brother ever caused you any trouble? Man, Moses' brother caused him a little trouble. So comes home, Aaron. He has talked with all these people. He has taken their earrings. He has taken their necklaces, all their jewelry. He has melted it down, and they're worshiping a golden calf. So Moses comes down and he sees this. And he's not happy about it. God's not happy about it. So then God, he's ready to wipe them all out. So Moses goes back up and he intercedes. He says, Lord, these are your people. I can imagine what God was thinking at that time. But that's what brings us to the scripture part we're here today. So you say, why would God say, you're going to go to the promised land, that'll be okay, but I'm not going with you? God's not happy. They're supposed to be worshiping God. God's done all these things for them, and Moses comes down and he sees them worshiping a golden calf. Like, what's wrong with you people? And then he looks and he's like, and my brother made it? Are you kidding me? I mean, God's not happy. Moses isn't happy. And so he says in verses 1 through 3, he says, the Lord says to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt. He says, I'll send an angel for you to drive out these different groups of people. So go up to that land flowing with milk and honey. He said, I'm going to deliver you to that promised land, but I won't go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. The Lord is tired of it. You know, there comes a time when God gets tired of your sin. There comes a time when he gets tired of my sin. He says, you know that if you sin, you need to ask for forgiveness and repent and turn from me. Doesn't he say that, Brother Gene?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And you just keep sinning, doing what you want. There's a time where God comes up, I am tired of that. And that's where he's at with these guys. In the Bible, other places, says he'll forgive you 70 times 7. Why does he forgive you? Because you want to repent. You're trying to change. These people, they're fickle. They just go with the flow. What? We got nothing to worship? Hey, man, let's whip up something. Here, I got some hair. We'll make us a calf. That sounds cool. I mean, these people are nuts. But I think if God looked at you and me and looked at our lives today, he might think of the same thing. Look at all these things I've done for Ariel. Why does she keep doing this? What's wrong with this woman? You know, maybe he'd say the same thing about Lorene or me or Larry. But God is tired of this. He says, I'm going to take you to the promised land just like I promised Abraham. But listen, I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. Then he adds that little, I might destroy you on the way. Lord's had it with those people. Had it with them. Isn't that how we are sometimes? We want God to go with us. Lord, I want to enter into your presence. Please take us here. But we don't want to do what he wants us to do. We don't want to follow him. We don't want to forgive others. We don't want to be nice to people. I would give grace to a lot of people, but that one person, I ain't giving grace to them, Lord. And then God points that stuff out. Just as I'm joking about that, it's like the Lord convicts me. Like, don't be joking about that stuff, Alan. You're that guy. Sorry, Lord. But I'm telling you, the Lord, he said he's not going to go with them because they're not doing the right thing. So look in verse 4. It says, when the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn. And no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. If I was to go with you for even a moment, I might destroy you. Now take your ornaments off, and I'll decide what to do with you. And so the Israelites, they stripped off all their ornaments. You might be saying, oh, I heard somebody preach, that's why women aren't supposed to wear jewelry. Wrong answer. That's not what this is about. What this is about is not saying you can't wear jewelry and earrings and all that stuff. What this is about is saying that you don't need to be wearing all that stuff that you just used to remind yourself of the calf you created. Get that stuff off of you. You know why? Do you know that our God is a jealous God, Brother Bill? He doesn't want anybody to be worshipped before him. He says, I'm the one who saved you. You said you want to make me Lord and Savior. Well, make me Lord. And so he's not happy with them. So the people, they take off their jewelry. They take off these ornaments. And they're in repentance. Like, well, if Moses said he doesn't know what he's going to do with us, he might destroy us. We better get this stuff up in here. They didn't care what its value was. They wanted to repent before the Lord. So Moses has another conversation with God. Moses wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. He sought the Lord. Remember, he has that tent, that cloud that comes in there. And he speaks to the Lord face to face, it says. So he's like, I don't know what to do in this situation. And in verse 12, we see what happens. Moses says to the Lord, you've been telling me to lead these people. But you didn't even let me know whom you're going to send with me. You've said, I know you by name. I know you found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. Now, God already knew that. He didn't need Moses to tell him that. But sometimes it's a good reminder. You know, I've chewed out the kids before. A couple times. And you know what happens? Shannon intercedes for him, just like Moses was interceding for the people. She's like, now, Alan, remember they're your children. You're a Christian and you're a pastor. I know all that stuff. But Shannon's interceding has saved our children. Because I might have destroyed them. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, so Moses, he's interceding for these Israelites that are causing these trouble. He's saying, God, all right, remember, here I am. You found pleasure with me, right? These are your people. Come on, God. Moses knew that some angel going forward and wiping out these tribes, that wasn't going to do any good. Sure, they might get to the promised land, but that's not what he wanted. Moses was convinced that without God's presence in his life, it wasn't even worth going. God's presence isn't going to be here. Lord, if you're not going to be with us in this, I don't even want to go. It's a waste. Look at verse 33:15. It says, if your presence does not go with us, then don't send us up there. Because how will you know, or how will anyone know, that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? I mean, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? He's saying, Lord, if your presence isn't with me, I'm not going anywhere. I won't take a single step unless you're with me. Moses knew. The thing that set them apart from the nations was God. That's it. You know the things that set you apart from the sinner sitting next to you at work or in church? Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the only one. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. He's the only one that loved you enough. He's the only one that took your place on the cross. He's the only one that makes you different than anybody else. Because you're trying to live for him. Remember, you can't do any of those things. Forgive people on your own. You can't give them grace and love them the way that God loves them on your own. Unless you know what God love is like in your own life. The only thing that sets us apart from non-believers is God being with us, leading us, guiding us, and working his will through us. Moses said, you know what? I don't care how the other nations received their guidance. I don't care how they formed their strategies. I don't care how they ran their governments. I don't care how they direct their armies. He said, we operate on one principle and one principle alone. The only way we're going to be guided and governed, the only way we're going to go to war or have peace, is if the Lord has manifested his presence within us. Lives will be changed, folks, if you're in the presence of the Lord. Lives will be changed. I praise God for Moses. He was a real man. We're getting close to Father's Day. I'm thinking about, what am I going to preach on? There's all these great men in the Bible. Man, Moses was a real man. He didn't care what anybody else thinks about him. He said, if this is what God wants, this is what I'm doing. Awesome. I want to have the same attitude that Moses had. So look how God answers Moses in verse 14. God answered Moses' bold statement by saying this, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Somebody said to me one time, Pastor, do you think you can change God's mind? Yeah, otherwise this is lying. Because Moses, I mean God, he wasn't going to send himself with Moses. He was going to send an angel. Moses interceded for those people because he loved those people. God looked at him and he said, you know what? Moses wants to follow me. Moses wants to seek me. I'll go with you, Moses. That's the compassionate, loving God that you and I serve today. And he doesn't just say he'll go with you. He says, I will give you rest. Let's be honest, how many people could use some rest? I mean, real rest. Being able just to sleep and not worry. I'm talking about a deep sleep, waking up feeling refreshed. The Hebrew word for rest here is a comfortable, quiet sleep. God is saying, no matter what enemies, no matter what trials you face, you'll always be able to find quiet rest in me. And I believe the church is supposed to be a place like that. If you have the manifested presence of God in this church, you should never be singled out. You should never be picked on. You should never be made fun of. This should be a place of rest. I don't care what sin you have in your life. I don't care what you did 10 minutes ago or what you did 5 years ago. This is a place where we're all equal. We're here to serve God, and we're all supposed to love each other unconditionally. Amen. This is a little bit of practice for heaven. I want to be in a church where there's not any hustle and bustle, where there's not any worry. I want to be in a church where the worship meetings don't revolve around a clock. I want to be in a church that says, where it's more important to come and meet with God than to sing three songs in a specific order, to have a short sermon and take some offerings up. I want to be in a church that loves God and that wants to live for God and says, you know what? I want to build that sanctuary. I want to see a flat sanctuary. But you know what? I'm not going to move an ounce until, God, you tell me how you want it done and when you want it done. Because anything I do with my hands or you do with your hands, if God's not in it, waste of time. We don't know anything about kettle corn. We've been doing it for a year. It tastes better than the guy who's won world fairs. How? Not because we're kettle corn experts. We looked at YouTube. Because we pray. And we ask God. And we seek Him. You may not be the greatest in the world at whatever it is you do. But folks, you seek God's presence, you'll be amazed at what you can do. Why? Because He says you can do all things through me who gives you strength. See, God wants you to be better. He wants me to be better. He wanted those Israelites that were being so stupid to be better. And so as Moses came in between and interceded, God loved Moses and He loved those people. And He helped. If we want to experience God's presence in our life today, we got to seek Him. It's the only way to get there. It's not going to fall in your lap. It's something you got to look for. Ask yourself these questions. Do you want to have a life that's filled with peace? Do you want to really be able to live a life where there's no anxiety or worry? Where you can really trust God? Then you need to live a life where you're putting yourself in God's presence. The only thing stopping you is you. It's nothing else. It's you. So the Lord says to Moses in verse 17, says, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Church, there's an incredible blessing in being in the Lord's presence. There's an incredible power and being in the Lord's presence. And that's where we should strive to be every day of our life. I want to share one more thought and I close. What is it going to take for you to have the attitude that Moses had? Where you say, you know what, Lord? If your presence isn't in it, I'm not going. I'm not doing it. What is it going to take for you to have that attitude? How long has it been since you really sought the Lord? How long has it been since you really wanted to be with God more than you wanted to be with anything else in the world? Why is it that when we're new Christians, do we read the Bible, we pray, we tell everybody in the world about Jesus? But after we've been Christians for a while, the only time we read our Bible is when we're in church. The only time we pray is when somebody else asks us to pray. And the only time we seek the Lord is when we have trouble knocking at our front door. I don't know the answers to those questions. But I do know that it's time for the church, it's time for God's people to be back and seeking God's presence. Folks, if you're looking for a sign, here it is. I'm it. This is the sign that God says, it's time for you to get your act together and start really living for the Lord. You got to stop expecting some force to shake our church building. for some preacher to lay his hands on you and solve all your problems. You got to seek the Lord and seek the Lord alone. When you seek Him with all your heart and desire His presence in your daily life, that's when the Bible says that you will find Him. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later. That's how you'll experience the incredible glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we stand and go to the Lord in prayer today, maybe you'll come and say, God, I haven't been in your presence lately. I've been far from you. I've been running from you. Lord, I want you to reignite that candle in my life. God, I don't want to be those Israelites that keep sinning, that keep doing the wrong things. I want to be the people that love the way you love me. Maybe you come forward and you say, God, help me. Forgive me. Restore me. Maybe you say, Lord, I've been a Christian for a long time. But God, I'm just like that guy you described, or just like that woman you described. When I first met you, I told everybody about you. I read my Bible. I prayed to you. But now that I've been a Christian for a long time, I only read my Bible when I'm in church. I only pray when somebody asks me about a prayer request. And I only seek you when everything else falls apart in my life. Lord, help us. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be like Moses. I want to be able to say that if God's presence isn't in it, then I don't want to step out one foot. I want to seek God's presence every day of my life. Maybe you're in that same situation today. No one's going to judge you. This is a place of safety. Everybody is welcome here. If you need to come and pray to the Lord today, come and pray as we sing this verse of invitation. Verse of invitation is hymn 508, I Will Serve Thee.
I will serve.